Hey guys, and welcome back to Debbie Girls After Hours. Another great episode from you and me.
You don't know it's a great episode yet.
It'll be
a really bad one.
Oh, joke. I don't want to have that negativity.
No, I'm joking. It's always going to be good.
Always.
It's always a good time when I'm here.
It is. But that's because of the snacks and the cake and everything else that we enjoy when we...
There's a cafe downstairs where we film this, and we just had banana cake with all like cream cheese.
I feel like we're going to be now jumping ahead to our Honey, I Need to Talk because...
Whoa, so soon? I'm not prepared.
Because...
This is very early on in the episode.
I didn't realise we were going straight into it, but that's my... It's not even a... All right, well, hold it. Shall I hold it?
Hold it.
Okay, I'll hold it. I'll rein it back.
Is it because I ate more of the cake than you? I don't know. I'll wait. No. I'm intrigued.
Okay, we'll put that back.
We were not ready for our Honey, We Need to Talk within the first 30 seconds of the podcast. Like, let me settle down.
It's not that bad.
It can't be because I've not done anything too bad today. I know that for a fact. I've been pretty good recently, to be fair.
You have.
Yeah, I've been like a well-behaved child.
You have. I feel like the podcast is really helping that. I feel like you're so nervous as to what might come out.
I'm actively thinking. Yeah, be more thoughtful so she doesn't cuss me out in the podcast.
Yeah.
I've seen comments about me being like a man child and stuff. People thinking that you've got another child.
I feel like isn't that a thing? Like... Most men.
That's what I say to you, and you're like, no, that's not a good excuse.
No, I'm not saying it's a good excuse, but I'm saying.
I'm like, yeah, but like, you know, all the other men that you know are like not even as good as me.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a shining example of what it is to be a husband and a dad.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. No, I actually have found this week pretty tough.
It's been an emotional one.
Has been really poorly. So now, if you follow our Instagrams and stuff, you actually see that she's actually home now. Like, no. This is pre-recorded. So when you watch this, she is actually home.
But right this second, we're filming, she's still in Thailand.
She's still away. But this week's been really tough. She's been really homesick. Had a couple of tears from her, but she got a really bad food poisoning, didn't she? And I just felt awful because she was trying to call me and I was at the O2. And for a concert, and I just got a message through from my sister being like, where are you? Casey's trying to get hold of you. She's like really sick. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, and your heart races. And then I tried to call her and she couldn't even talk to me. She was that sick. But she's been well looked after.
She was crying her eyes out. She's like, I'm really sick. And she's like, and I'm homesick.
Oh.
I was like, oh, my babes. Like, you know, you feel so helpless as a parent because you're on the other side of the world. You want to just like get on the next flight out there. But at the same time.
Or get her home as quickly as possible.
Just get her home as quickly as possible, yeah. But, you know, and she was in a hostel in a shared room. So imagine being in a shared room.
On a bunk bed.
On a bunk bed. While you're trying to vomit every few seconds.
Yeah.
And it was like it wasn't a nice hostel. Like some of the hostels out there are all right, but this was not a particularly nice one.
No.
So she was like, and her friends were trying to find a hotel local so they could go and check into a hotel. They were really looking after her, but...
Because she was with her best friend, Ava, but Ava's come home now. She actually is traveling home as we speak. So she's moved to friends that she's from home, like really good friends. And they really looked after her. I was so thankful. I was getting updates from Chloe. And the next morning, because they checked her into a hotel so that she could sleep and, you know, be on her own in a room, they packed up her bag. They carried
She sent
it
me
for
a
her.
Picture of those like, of Abby and Chloe carrying her backpack to the next hotel, and they've got massive backpacks. So,
and then the next night, she was like ill, but not really sick still. But then you had tears from me, didn't you? Like,
yeah. Got tears from everyone. Because obviously you feel really sad and now you're like really missing her.
Mm.
And I think just that
it's getting to that like that last like bit, like I'm just really struggling now. Like I laugh and joke, but like I just wanted to come home now. I just feel like enough's enough. It's been 3 long months. The last 2 weeks feels like the longest out of all of it, like especially with hearing her cry, like
because you was actually really anxious in bed last night. You was like
breathing,
felt like you couldn't breathe, and you were crying. I'm like, you're a little like a emotional support puppy.
Yeah,
I can't be that helpful, but I can give you snuggles.
Yeah. No, you are helpful. It is. You always talk to me and just like, you're like,
calm me down.
It's going to be okay.
And she is. And the thing is like, as bad as it is, obviously, to have all this food poisoning and stuff like, but you know, it's sometimes the rougher things in life that kind of build a bit of character. Yeah. She's got through it and she can see that if she is away again and she does get sick, like she knows it's bad in the moment. That's what I was trying to say to her on the phone. Like, you're going to have a rough 24 hours, but you're going to get through this.
And I know like people are probably thinking like, again, like for me, they might think I'm overreacting a little bit. She's only got a sickness bug. But I think after losing Mickey, I know my family in particular, we just don't take anything for granted. And I know it is only a sickness bug. And in my rational mind, that's what I think. But when she's ill and she's not there, that I can physically see she's okay. Like, I don't know how ill that is because she can't even talk to me on the phone.
And also because she didn't check in with you yesterday. You were like, she's not answering the phone. I'm like, babe, it's 1 a.m. where she is. Of course she's not answering the phone. She's asleep. She's fine. I promise you, she's absolutely fine. She's in bed. She would have had a great day, but you couldn't rest because you hadn't spoke to her.
Yeah.
But she's fine.
Yeah. So
she's all good. She's been to the beach and, you know, she's having a nice time. So she's all good.
I spoke to her this morning and it was like her lunchtime and they'd had a nice day. She still couldn't eat, but she's been up and out, which is really nice. But yeah, so there's my...
But you're very ready. I mean, we're all ready.
I am. I miss her in the house. I can't snap out of it now. Like, yeah. I literally feel like there's a heavy cloud over me and I just feel...
You've been fine up until now, though.
But, I have. Yeah. Like, when she first went, I was upset and I felt sad. And obviously, we've spoke about it. I cried the whole way home. Then I was really happy for her. I was so happy that I didn't even think about my feelings. It was more like the excitement for her. And even when she found it hard, I was like, you're going to have a great time. Then it got to a point where I was a little bit sad and I was looking at photos and videos of her in bed and you were like, what are you doing? Like, it's a bit weird. And now I've just got to the point of like feeling depressed. Gosh, I wouldn't be able to cope if she's like going to move away. Like, she can't. I can't have any of my kids.
I think honestly, she's such a home girl. Like, such a home girl.
Yeah.
She's a homely girl.
Homely girl.
She's not a home girl. But... I don't think she would ever be able to, the same way you can't move away from your parents. Like, I've always wanted to move to America or anywhere.
Move
warm.
Without me.
Preferably without. But
that's all right. I'll come for holiday homes. I don't mind.
But you're like, one of the reasons we would never be able to move away is because of how close you are with your mom and dad, which obviously I respect that. But I think that's going to be like Casey. I don't think Casey will ever be able to move away.
Yeah.
Unless we all go with her.
Yeah, because I'm and thinking granddad. About it, but maybe like Grace is going to be our free spirit and then that'll break my heart too. Like, what did I say to you? I was like, Joel, yesterday, I was like, Grace has just told me she's going to go traveling at 18 and she's 17 this year. That means next year I cannot cope now. My heart is not ready for another 1 month to go traveling. And we literally sat and worked it out, didn't we? Like, well, no, she's going to college for 2 years. So it'd actually be when she's like 19 or, yeah, is that... Help, tell me.
No, she's not going to be 19
again.
No, it was just that she turns 18 in October. So she wouldn't go. Yeah, she would still have school until the following June. Yeah, so she would then probably not go traveling until she was 19.
There we go.
Yeah. So I did calm you down.
A couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were basically like, next year she's
going to jump. I can't do it. I can't feel like this. Like, because she's like, I'm going to do exactly what Casey's done. I'm going to travel. And obviously I want her to do it. I'm just like, give me like time, like, please. I don't drink wine, but a glass of wine would be lovely, I think, right now. But yeah.
The thing that I love is I love the fact that, you know, like us starting YouTube and all this kind of stuff has really given the girls like this freedom to be able to do, go traveling. Like Casey also has like another trip that's planned later this year. The fact that she's just able to do that and have these experiences because
so
of
lucky.
What we've done on YouTube, like that makes me so proud of all of us. Like,
well, your idea.
No, I'm not saying it about me.
No, I wasn't
I'm saying
it.
All
no,
of us.
You always say that, but YouTube, I didn't understand it in the beginning. I think we've said all of this, but I didn't understand it.
Like, the YouTube, what's
the
that?
YouTube? Put this up on the YouTube. No, I didn't really understand it, and I was just obviously just very supportive of you because you wasn't happy in your job. And it was just really
Do you know what it was? Like, I always felt like there was more to life. Like, I always had it's going to sound so cringe when I say this, right? But when I watched the film Moana, it really hit like in my soul, because you know, like the whole way through the film Moana, she knows there's more to life outside of the island.
Mm.
Outside of your comfort zone is where life really begins. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And I always had this feeling before.
I'm comfortable here and I've had a lovely life.
Yeah. But like, and that's fine. Like, and do you know what? It's not for everyone. Like, and I almost sometimes envy people who are just very content in their kind of like in their comfort zone. And that's fine. Mm. I actually think respect to you for that. But I just was never content. And I always felt like there's more to life.
Yeah.
And there's like an adventure to be had.
I didn't know
what it was. And then when YouTube was like around and you start seeing like what was going on YouTube, and I started to get a sense of like, if YouTube became your career, like what an incredible adventure that would be.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt.
Because you did find that really hard before YouTube. You were going for a stage of obviously not liking your job, but there was this big thing of you were constantly saying about us moving away. And you were searching. In fact, we went to America to look for houses at one point because you were adamant this is what we were going to do. And I was a bit like, oh gosh, I don't know.
It wasn't the right thing. And I'm glad that we didn't do it. But I was definitely searching for something. I was searching for adventure for all of us.
That's what I'm saying.
And I remember we argued quite a bit over it, because I was just like really frustrated, because I was just like, there's more to life than this. I'm telling you, there's more to life than this. Like, and obviously, in the end, like, we were just like, yeah, like, let's start this YouTube thing. Because, so just to give people a little bit of background, my background is like in camera editing, like production.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that since I was like 17, and I did enjoy it. It's not that I didn't like my job. I did enjoy what I was doing, and I always was learning more.
Mm.
But I did get to a point where it's like the things I was making videos of for other people wasn't really exciting me anymore.
Yeah.
And I kind of lost the love for it. But the things that I loved doing is when we would go on holiday, we'd make like these home, or I'd make these home movies of us, of our holidays. And they were so good, weren't they? Like, no, I'm not.
That sounds like I'm being big-headed.
What I mean is that they were so fun. They were so fun to make, so fun to watch. And I was just like, oh, like, you know, like you, once I made it, I felt so satisfied of like, well, that memory will be there forever.
Mm.
And then I can't remember. I just remember thinking, oh, you can't, wish I could do that for a living. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when people say, oh, follow your passion, someone asks you, oh, what's your passion? What do you enjoy doing? I was like, I love making these videos with the family.
Yeah.
I was like, but I can't do that for a living. And then you see on YouTube, like, people are making a career out of it. Like, people are doing this for a living. And then we were like, I was just like, should we just give this a go? Like, should we just like try it? I can't remember if I said like a year. I think I said like a year. Like, let's just make videos for a year once a week. Even if nothing comes of it, we got a year of like fun.
Yeah.
Memories, we can always look back on them. But I also remember having this thought of like, I felt like, because I was very aware, like, it felt like I was so late to the party with YouTube, even though like we weren't. It felt like YouTube had been like, it was so oversaturated that how could we come in this late when everyone's already made their lane there? So then I remember thinking, even if we don't crack it on YouTube, like, something will happen. If we put ourselves out there and we make these videos, some opportunity will come along, and we don't know what that will look like. I mean, fortunately, we did, you know, it did take off for us pretty quick, didn't
it? Yeah, it did. We was in shock, because when we first got approached by management, it was only, what, like 6 weeks in?
I think we've been on YouTube for 6 weeks.
It was insane.
And we got approached by like a big management company. When I went, I'd ignored their first email, not on purpose. And I got this email. It's like, oh, just following up on my last email. I looked up the company and they represented like massive YouTubers. And I was like, what do they want with us? So I went to this meeting in London, and I remember going out, I was so skeptical. I was like, what's the catch? Like, you know, I was asking all these really tough questions.
Yeah, why do you want us?
Who's going to own the content if we sign this contract? Are you going to own all our content? They're like, no, obviously not. We just want to help you make this into a career. And then it turned out that they obviously just saw the potential in what we were doing, and they just wanted to sign us. And I think within 8 weeks, we were doing it full time.
Yeah, yeah.
So in a way, like, it looks like it was like an overnight success, and it was to a certain extent. But what...
It was a quick success.
But what I had been doing for months before that is kind of like, making little videos on Instagram because I felt like it was like a safer, the easier for me to like, it was almost like my training ground was like doing little videos on Instagram.
I remember that really cute video you made of Chloe with her first Converse.
Sophie. That was Sophie, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Sophie. And I just remember it. I think we were like, oh yeah, of course it was Sophie, because after her little like Pedro boots, it was a big deal that she got her first pair of Converse. And we said, and we were trying to send it to people like, you could make little ads like this with our girls that are trainers. Like, they're so cute.
Yeah, so we were making, so I was making videos on Instagram. And also I like, and the reason that I'm saying this, because I'm hoping that maybe this little piece inspires someone to take, not to become a YouTuber, just to take action in whatever it is that you want to do with life.
Yeah.
But I remember I found it so difficult to talk on camera, like so difficult. But I kept thinking, if I can just get over this fear and this thing that's uncomfortable, on the other side of it is like potentially like an amazing life. So I'd practice, I'd literally film myself on my phone, not for anything, did not post it, like literally just film these videos of me just waffling for no reason, just to kind of get comfortable with it. And then, and then eventually we're just like, oh, let's just do this YouTube video. And the first video, because I'm such a perfectionist, the reason that it took me so long to kind of get started is because I kept thinking it's got to be a big video, it's got to be viral, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, that I just put it off. And one day I was like, do you know what? I'm going to make a video and I'm going to make it and it's going to be crap. And that's fine. Because why can't my first video be crap, right? We grabbed Jibber Jabber out of the cupboard, that game that you put the thing in your mouth and you know, like you have to say the words.
It's so gross.
We were dribbling everywhere. It's gross.
Yeah. Saliva everywhere.
So we made this video, a bit of fun. Like it weren't a great video. I remember sending it to my mum. She was like, I don't get it. It's boring. She was so brutal. Right. So we posted it. But the reason I'm saying this is like sometimes you build things up to be such a massive deal in your head that you think it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
It, you know, if it's not going to get 100,000 views, it's not worth doing, but it is. You've got to start
somewhere. But that's your advice. Every time I hear someone say like, oh, how could I get started? You're like, just start. Just get out videos. Even if you put intentionally, out 10, like, you know, get them out, and if they're rubbish, like, they will get better and you'll get more of a flow. But I always hear you say that.
I say that even now, if I'm starting a big project on anything, even outside of YouTube, like whatever, I almost especially I've learned this with editing, because I used to do a lot of editing. Like if you're sitting down to do a big edit, you've got hours of footage. It can be very overwhelming and you want it to be perfect. The best way to start a video is to intentionally make it crap, because you will start. And once you start, you'll make it better and better and better. And then you'll end up with a great thing. And my other piece of advice is, like, do 50 videos and don't even look at the views. Because do you know what? Like, your first 50 videos are going to be crap. Get them out of the way. Get them done and don't even think about it. Because once you hit that many reps, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
But saying that, sorry.
I think we're going to say the same thing. I was going to talk about video that did go viral.
Yeah, so the video that really blew up for us, which I think was like the fourth video we posted, which was called Will They Cheat? And I remember it waking up one morning, because all our videos had like 300 views.
I love to film those ones.
And then I woke up in the morning, it was like 10,000 views. I was like, what? I thought it was a mistake. I was like screaming downstairs, like, we've got 10,000 views. I refreshed it like 20 minutes later. It's like 20,000 views. Like this went on all day. 100,000 views. I think within 24 hours, like a million views.
I think it was just before we were going to bed. You were like, I think it's going to be hit a million. I remember you being so excited. I can literally picture us in the old house in the bedroom. And you were like, I think it's going to get to a million. And then it did. And it was like so exciting.
Yeah. So that video, basically what we did is we copied the idea from an ITV show called What Would Your Kid Do?
Yeah.
Where they secretly film the kids and see if the kids are going to be honest.
We have so many kids at a young age. It just made sense to do it.
It was so fun.
It was so fun. And it is, everyone wants to know what a kid would do in different situations.
But I don't think I ever actually shared this, but ITV actually emailed me and they threatened to sue us over that video. So they basically wrote to us and said, this is like an infringement on some kind of, it was like the legal jargon, it wasn't copyright, but it was something similar. Basically, like, we're gonna sue you, like, we're gonna take you to court over this. If you don't take it down, you've got like 48 hours to take it down. I think we've done two or three of these, and they were doing so well for us. I was like, these videos are literally like, these are launching our career.
Yeah.
And I felt like it's really unfair because I know I'd ripped the idea from them, but we're just a family at home replicating. Like, so many people.
It wasn't
people.
Like it was still being played. It's not like people are going to watch ours instead of theirs, like, as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not on TV that.
Yeah, but the thing is, as well, like, I kind of felt like, well, if you look now, like, how many people on YouTube are copying ITV shows? Like,
yeah.
The Chase, this, that. Like, how many people do it? Like, we were just a family with a camera at home and we just.
And it, also, like, what we talk about is most things on TikTok are copy, whether it's another YouTuber or it's trends, yeah. Isn't it?
We weren't trying to make people think that idea was ours. I even mentioned them and said, like, you know, like, as in, like, we're just doing our own version of this.
Yeah.
And then in the end, I took out any mention of ITV because I got advice from someone, like, if you remove all that, they probably don't have it, like, any case. So in the end, we just decided to, I didn't even reply to him. I just thought, I'm keeping it on there. I don't feel like we've actually done anything wrong. And then I never heard from him again. But yeah, imagine that. We nearly got sued within 4 weeks of being on YouTube.
Yeah, we get signed with then off.
I'm so glad I didn't take those videos down though. Because if we'd taken them down, who knows? We might not have even sat here now. I'm sure we still would have probably done well, but it definitely did help launch us. Like, but yeah.
I wouldn't really know. Don't know what views are on what.
You never check the views, do you?
No, I'm sorry.
I ride that emotional roller coaster of like, the views are up, the views are down.
You do.
The views are up, the views are
YouTube
down.
YouTube is like your baby. Like, you come up with the ideas, you've got the passion for it of like just making sure it does well. Like, and I like that. I like that it's your thing. Like, it's just nice, not for me, because I don't want to be the one to think about thing? It. Daewoo, Soul Skin.
Do you look at the numbers for Daewoo? Have you ever logged into the analytics of Daewoo and looked at how much we sold?
What do I? Never. You mean I have to look at numbers? I don't look at numbers, but as in, I'm more part of that. As in, with filming, I just turn up.
Yeah, that's all you need to do because you're like the main talent. You just rock up on set.
No,
you're like, I'm here. Let's get this done.
It's not really.
I got places to be.
Well, that's true, but there's always something. Someone's trying to get a date in the diary and it's already like, I'm looking
God,
at the end
the diary
of April.
Is
I'm
ridiculous.
Like, this is crazy.
But do you ever just think, I think, wow, like, I'm so glad that we kind of took that leap of faith, so to speak, and how our lives have changed. And also that Casey and Grace are seeing the benefits of it as well. So
yeah, but to be fair, I always knew it too well. But I have this like great belief in you. I don't think you believe in yourself very much. And I think that's part of your flaw in your character because you're always putting yourself down. But I don't know. Maybe I'm the silly one. Well, I'm not because look where we are. But I do actually have so much faith in
belief. You have always been so supportive of me. Like literally like blind faith. Like when I said about doing YouTube and stuff, like you were just like, yeah, that's. Do you think it's a good idea? Like, let's do it. You didn't even know much about it.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't, like, there's so many people's other half, like, I don't think would have done the same thing. They would have been like, no, just stick to what you're doing. It's paying the bills. Like, you know, like, let's not go outside the lines here because that's a little bit risky. So, do you know what? Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I mean that.
No, I saw your frustrations. I could see, like, you was.
I used to be so frustrated. I think as well, like, before I realized I had ADHD. I really thought, so I'm going to laugh because someone commented, like, can we just get through one episode of Joel not mentioning he's got ADHD? Which I did on the last podcast. I didn't mention it, but it's relevant here. So it's not my whole personality. But before I realized I had ADHD, I really thought like, I was just like, I was so down on myself because I felt like I was like just broken. Like I felt like, why can't I have an idea? I mean, I have an idea, but why can't I execute that idea? I know all these things I want to do. I have like amazing ideas. Like why do I procrastinate on things? Why can't I do, like I was so desperate to want to do things. And I remember I even went to therapy because I was like so frustrated with myself. I went to therapy. I think there's also such a stigma around therapy, that's why I want to talk about it here. Like I went to therapy. And I remember just being like, I'm so frustrated with myself. Like, these are the things I want to do. Like, it was so nice to go and talk to someone who didn't know me.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was in that therapy that the lady said, have you ever been tested for ADHD? I was like, of course not. Like, I always thought the kid with ADHD was the one bouncing off the walls. Like, you know, like in the classroom, you could tell the kid had ADHD. So I was like, no, obviously I don't have ADHD. And then she was like, I think you should look into it. When I looked into it, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Every symptom, not every symptom, but most symptoms, I was like, it was such a light bulb moment for me. But yeah. But actually, do you know what? That actually really naturally brings us on to our sponsor for today's podcast.
Yes.
So guys, this is an advertisement for BetterHelp Therapy Online. BetterHelp have over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, and they can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of mental health expertise. So obviously I said I've had therapy, and I think one of the important things to remind people is you don't have to have any major trauma.
No.
Or like huge life-changing experience to need therapy.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. I just knew that I needed someone to talk to that wasn't a friend, wasn't you, that didn't really know me or my circumstances and just needed them to listen and ask the right questions.
Yeah. And then also me, who has been through trauma, did, you know, did work to have therapy. It really helped. Just how to deal with your emotions and how to, yeah.
But did you find in your therapy, obviously you've had grief, that when you went, there were things that you didn't go there for, which ended up coming out, which were really good? Because I went there with what I was trying to get out of it, and things that I could never have predicted came out, which gave me light bulb moments, and I was able to make like positive change in my life.
Also, sometimes it's like, it's actually what you, it's just making you talk, so that sometimes you come up with a solution, but you didn't even know you had the solution. It's just
a good therapist knows the right questions to ask, don't they?
Yeah.
And I like, do you know what? I actually really enjoyed therapy. It was really, it was nice. It was almost like self-care. Like you go there for an hour, like no kids, no nothing, just someone's going to listen to you. It's lovely. Yeah.
Sometimes even when we're arguing, I'm like, we should just get a therapist to tell us who's right or wrong. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, but that's not what a therapist is for, is it? It's not a judge. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, I would definitely recommend giving BetterHelp a try.
So it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and just to work in your schedule.
You just need to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time, no extra charge. And our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/DVG. That's betterhelp.com/DVG. So we are heading to Mexico very soon.
We are.
I'm really looking forward to it. But do you know why sometimes I can't look forward to a holiday as much as I would? Is because I know in order to get to said holiday, we need to get on a 10-hour flight.
I know.
With 5 kids.
Sometimes we book it and we're like, yeah, amazing. Great idea. And then we get to it and we're like, oh no. Like,
is it 10 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. Yeah. And the thing is, like, you know, we don't, we're not even flying premium economy. We're just flying economy, right?
Yeah.
We should at least maybe get one of us in business class.
Let's not start this.
No, but like, as in maybe one of us, like, to have, oh no, because Maddie needs her own seat now.
Yeah. No. But anyway.
Can you imagine how crazy expensive it would be if we all went business class? That's mad.
Yeah. Got to put out, get a few more sponsors and a few more.
But do you know what the thing is, right? Even if like, how rich do you need to be like, to justify the cost of flying as a whole family business class? Because I'm like,
a lot of people don't have as many kids as us. Like five, we have a lot of kids. We chose to have a big family. Like if we had 2 kids, we just had Casey and Grace. Maybe.
But still, I look at it and I'm like, the only time I've ever flown business class when I've flown by myself, because I'm like, and I only book it when I'm at the airport because it's way cheaper.
Yeah,
it can be like an extra 500-600 quid, and I'm like, okay. But when you're booking online, it's like thousands more. It's crazy. But yeah, I think that's I love going on holiday with the kids. Traveling with the kids is can be
and hard, also the thing is that we try to get in more holidays because that's our time to switch off and we have real quality time with the girls. So if we wouldn't be able to do as many holidays as well if you would then fly in more, like business class, because then that just really wouldn't be able to justify it. So although saying that, Casey is flying business class there. She bought her own tickets. And because she'll be jet lagged from Thailand, she sees it that she can just lay down and sleep to be able to, because I think she's ahead by like 7 hours, and then
she's gonna be
coming
messed
back
up
like 2 days here, and then we're going to Mexico, and it's then behind. So she's completely Yeah, I don't even know where our timing's going to be. So,
what do you love about going on holiday with the kids, and what do you not like about going on holiday with the kids?
Well, obviously the flight is not the best bit.
You never get in the pool with them. I know we spoke about this before.
No, I do on holiday. I do on holiday.
What, a lot?
Yeah, that's a bit of on holiday idea. If it's really hot.
I can picture you sitting on the side, on the steps. I can't picture you swimming with Sophie.
Yeah.
I can't
picture
literally that.
Last holiday, because you wasn't, I don't know why, you kept being upstairs. There was a lot of times.
I was editing.
Yeah, but I was in the
like we said, I've completely switched off. No, Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be hot for me to be in. So if we went away in like early year and it's not like hot, then maybe not. Like that time we went to, I think it was Dubai, it wasn't like really hot in the February.
Yeah.
But so no, you won't catch me in the pool then.
Catch me outside.
Like, I'm okay to admit like when I wouldn't do something, like, no, I don't get in the pools here in England. But on holiday, I do.
I like being out and about. I like doing stuff. Like although I do get in the pool with the kids, I am like, oh, like, have I been in here long enough to justify being a good dad? Can I get in there? Like, that's how I feel when I'm in there. Like, I don't necessarily like thoroughly enjoy that part of it, but I know I know how much they love it.
I just love how, like we say about Sophie, just being free, her by the pool.
Oh, she loves
She's
it.
She's in her element. Like she grows every time we go away with her.
2 inches.
She learns something new. Like she just, as a person, not her height, she grows. And everyone says, like, even the school, do you remember, they used to say to us, like, if you ever took her off out of holiday in school time, like, they would fully support us because
Developmentally, she seems to come on a lot more when we're on holiday.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know what it is.
And from Sophie, who had an unsafe swallow and was tube fed, and we could not get a drop of fluid in her because it would have gone into her lungs. Obviously, that's healed now. To then see the way she swims is just incredible. Yeah. Like, I remember going swimming with her when she was a baby. Maybe this is why I'm traumatized. I went swimming with her as a baby. And no joke, a swimming instructor came over to me. It was a lady. And she was so rude. She was like, you know, if you're not letting her get water in her face, she's going to have a fear of swimming. And she was so rude to me. And I was like, she actually has an unsafe swallow. And it's actually so dangerous for her to get water in her mouth. She was like, oh, I'm really sorry. Yeah. Like,
people are so judgy. What is wrong with people? That is.
And I don't think I ever took her as a baby ever again after that.
God, that infuriates me how like narrow-minded.
And just because she is, that she's an instructor, she does know. Like, yeah, okay, she knows really well about like how to teach kids.
But I'm sorry, but like Sophie, you can see as well. Like Sophie has special needs, right? So you can probably put two and two together and realize that there's probably special circumstances here.
Yeah,
like come on.
I've mentioned all the other things. Like when I had, do you remember that time I went to home base with her, and like three women had said something to me. I'd literally got out of the house.
I remember. Remind me.
Because now, bearing in mind, one, okay, I am quite a slim build anyway, so I'm not going to say I was ever big, massive. So, but after losing Mickey, and then I had her, I was quite down. So I had lost a lot of weight, but I was obviously going for a lot anyway. So I remember one lady literally looked at the bed. She had her tube fit. Her feeding tube in. She literally looked at the baby, looked at me and said, well, maybe if you ate, she wouldn't be that small. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay. And then I had another woman say, how about you try and take that dummy out and she might actually feed. And I was like, what they didn't know is that we were told to give her a dummy to try and encourage her to eat. Like, people had no idea. And I literally put my stuff down. I walked out crying. Like, I just couldn't deal with it. And
I was furious.
At that time, with having Sophie being tube fed, because of how tiny she was, her little belly couldn't handle it. So it was actually on a machine. And it was so slow that by the time she was fed, then I'd have to leave her to be really still in case she was sick, which a lot of times she was sick, she'd then need to be changed. By the time I've done all that, it was soon time to feed her again. So I actually nearly, there was a period of Sophie's little life that I just didn't go out. So when I did then go out, and that's what I was met with, it just made me like
actually disgusting behavior for someone to comment. You can see that the baby has a feeding tube. You have zero idea why that baby has a feeding tube. We were going through the toughest time of our lives.
Yeah.
It was so touch and go with Sophie. God, we were doing everything we could to keep that baby alive.
Mm.
And obviously we were doing everything we could for her. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like,
oh gosh.
And for people to come along and just make comments like that, like, oh, like, mm. oh God, people like that just.
It's funny because like, you kind of like lock it, you lock yeah. it away. Like that was actually really tough.
It was tough.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know. Maybe I'll go back to therapy.
Did we say this is going to be a light-hearted podcast?
Yeah. Oh, dearie me.
It was yeah. like, it was a really, although, we've not spoke about it loads, but it was a tough time. It was honestly like, I remember, I'm going to start crying in a minute.
There's two things I'm going to say. Firstly is we really found out how amazing our family is that supported us and our friends. We had friends that saw that they babysat and they, because Sophie would pull her tube out. Oh gosh, I've got so many things that want to go in my brain now, but they helped babysit her so we could have a day at the spa or a night in the spa because obviously it was really tough. And they had to take her to hospital to have it fitted again. They got into the car park, she'd already pulled it out and they had to do it. But your mum had her for us. Like it was just, everyone was just rallied around us. We did have
support. I do always think like there's people out there, like even single mums who don't have family support. Like how do they get through that?
Yeah.
Because we had each other and we had our family, but it was, oh God, it was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. But although I was going to counteract that with, A lady yesterday, I took Sophie with me to Waitrose. Well, we actually went and got our nails done, but I took her to Waitrose to get her a little magazine. And Sophie was so excited. She's just at the top of her head, like as she does, walking around like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 11, 12, like shouting at the top of her voice, random numbers, arms are going everywhere.
Yeah.
She's recently got this neck like chew thing, so she's in the mouth and she's shouting to, and the lady walked past and just smiled and winked at me and then carried on, and it was like a connection, like I was yeah. just like, she gets it, like
yeah.
she's just, that meant so much to me, like I didn't feel judged, I didn't, like Sophie can be Sophie, and it yeah. just was like,
I feel like as well, because we know like when we see other kids and parents mm. like parents who have kids with special needs, like you give them that look now. Like, as in, I understand, like, yeah. it's good. And you interact, whereas, like, before we had Sophie, we probably wouldn't have known how to be,
yeah.
you know, almost like you ignore children with special needs when you're out in public if they're doing something. You almost think...
Because yeah. you don't
like,
know what to, don't stare to or don't look or around.
But then,
yeah.
now we would like, looking yeah. at a smile, and you don't actually mm. know what that means to parents to be like,
yeah.
I'm not being judged. People understand, and yeah. it's, like, it's really, really nice. But, yeah, in fact, even, like, so... because. Like I see comments and stuff on our YouTube channel, because since Maddie having a dummy, Sophie has just been back on a dummy.
Oh, gosh, and yeah. she the was thing like is, an addict. It was like
yeah.
withdrawal symptoms if she didn't have it.
She's just constantly stealing Maddie's dummy. And at first we were being really hard and then we were just like giving in. But it comforts her so much.
Yeah.
When she puts it in her mouth, she's like, she makes these noises. Nom, nom, nom.
Like,
and like, it just, it's yeah. like, it's like some kind of medicine to her, right?
It is, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, we know it's not good for her to have a dummy. We know it's not good for, like,
her teeth.
Obviously, she doesn't have it yeah. all the time. But sometimes you'll see in her YouTube videos that she has a dummy. And sometimes the comments from people, even though they know she has special needs, right?
Yeah.
And they say, she's 12. And I know they know she's got special needs because they know how old she is. She's 12, she shouldn't have a dummy. It's like, if you know Sophie and you know she has special needs, she's not a normal 12-year-old. You're talking about a 12-year-old that is developmentally at the age of like a 3-year-old.
Mm.
So what's wrong with you? Like, yeah. But anyway, what we have done is we bought...
You always say 3 and I always say like 4 or 5. So she's somewhere there.
Yeah, well, 3 suited my story this time a little bit better because the 3-year-old might have a dummy.
Yeah.
So let me say 3.
Yeah.
No, to be honest, Sophie is on a scale. Like there's certain things which I would say she's like developmentally at like 3, 4
yeah.
and 5.
Agree, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so we've got her these like chew. They're like a thing she can chew. Not eat, you don't swallow it. It's just like a piece of rubber and it goes around her. Mm. It's like on a string that goes around her neck. So we're trying to encourage that. Rather than
but she's actually taken to it really well and really enjoys it. Because what had happened is I spoke to the school and I said, she's just obsessed. I don't know what to do. Like Maddie's doesn't seem ready to give up her dummy yet either. I'd wait till I can kind of bribe her. I said, so she's not at an age yet to get rid of it. So the dummy is still in the house. And she said, oh, try these chews. Because basically what they'd found is she was chewing on like her jumper or something when she's anxious. So there's definitely a comfort there. So yeah, so bless her.
She needs to get a pack of bubble gum.
No. No.
It's a joke.
I know, but it's not a funny one. You know I don't allow them to have bubble gum.
You're laughing.
That is actually something she always goes in the shop. She goes, I get bubble gum. I'm like, no.
She's never had chewing gum, but she's obsessed about getting chewing gum.
Wanting bubble gum, yeah.
And I don't get it. No. She knows that once she gets that, she's going to love it. She'll be obsessed with chewing gum at one day.
Oh.
It's always chomping.
Bless her. Okay, so should we now go back into the honey, we need to talk?
Go on in.
So,
let's hear
it's not even a no, it's not even a bad thing. It's more of an ick this time. It's a bit of an ick.
What have I done?
You and me were really cute. And we just, before we come to the podcast, we shared a little banana cake. We love
it. Yeah, it was yummy. It was romantic.
It's cute that you shared a slice of banana cake.
Yeah. What went wrong?
Well, your last bit, I mean, I felt bad for you because it was your last mouthful. You dropped it on the floor. Yeah. And bearing in mind, hundreds of people come into this cafe, dogs too. It dropped on the floor. You were like, 5 second rule, picked it up, put it in your mouth. And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. Like, I know that's sad that
first
you were
of all,
last mouthful.
I didn't go, 5 second rule. Like a big, like the most greediest little ogre. You literally, the way you just did that, oh, 5 second rule, nom, 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 nom. Like stuff in my face while I'm not even fitting into my clothes. Like
you was a little bit lent over.
No.
Yeah, you were.
I didn't say 5 second rule. It dropped to the floor. I picked it up. You gave me a look and I said it wasn't even a 2 seconds on the floor. Like it wasn't even 2 seconds.
Okay, but
I picked it up, sorry. But my face did drop when we came upstairs. You told Will, the producer, about it. And he went, oh yeah, and it's a dog friendly office. That's when my face dropped, really. And realizing that a dog's bum had been on that floor. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Could have left it. It's only a tiny bit. It wasn't even a big bit. That was a bit greedy.
I mean, it's sad it's your last one, though, but I get it. But no.
I think I would. You're right. I gave myself the ick there a little bit. You know, when you do it so quick, so automatic, and then as it's in your mouth, you're chewing it and you're thinking, probably could have just left
No,
that.
I'm all for like 5 second rule. I would do that at home, but not when I'm in a public place and you just. No, sorry.
Didn't even give it a second thought, did I?
Yeah. So, yeah, dilemmas.
Right, let's get into the dilemmas.
Ooh.
All right, so we're going to get into your dilemmas. Guys, if you want to send us a dilemma, go over to our Instagram, dadvgirlspod, and send us a DM. Not on my main Instagram, but on the podcast Instagram.
Yeah.
Try and keep the dilemmas fairly lighthearted, nothing too serious. We don't want to be giving out life-changing advice, right? So, any tips on moving in with your partner? I've only ever lived with my mum and sister, so I'm a bit worried about not having them around. Also, I have ADHD, and obviously being with him for a weekend, it doesn't affect him much. I'm worried I'll annoy him. First of all, I'm just going to let you know right now, you will annoy him. He will annoy you. Mm. That is what being in a relationship is.
And it's you get on each other's nerves. Yeah.
But, okay, so... Well, first of all, Sarah, over to you. What's your advice?
Oh, I don't know. I was just thinking about when we first moved in together and we kind of had to because we then had Casey. We were kind of like...
It was never really like a proper conscious choice of like, oh, we should take the next step and move in together. It's kind of like, we've got a baby together. Oh, it's probably convenient that we are under the same roof.
Yeah. No, I think it's a really exciting move to do. I think the fact that she's already conscious that that she may annoy him, like you said, they both are going to annoy each other. You both have to just learn through it of what things annoy each other and what you can do to improve.
Yeah.
I think just enjoy it. Like it's a new, exciting thing.
But do you think rush, like there's also no rush. No. Like once you move
it. How long they've been together?
Obviously.
Been girlfriend like 10 years.
Okay. Well, I'm going to assume they haven't been boyfriend and girlfriend for 10 years and not moved in together. But the only thing I'd say is like once you move in together, that's it. There isn't a scenario really where you move back in with your mum, but you're still dating. So the only thing I'd say is like, there's no rush.
Yeah.
Like whether you do it now or you do it in 6 months or a year. So like, do take your time. Like, but maybe see if you're saying you don't know about living together, go on holiday. If you haven't been, I don't know. Have you been on holiday?
Yeah.
Spent a week together living in the same room. You'll get to know whether or not you're.
I think it's different on holiday. It's a different environment when you're on holiday.
Also, actually, I just thought about this. Would it not be better to move in sooner rather than later? Because then you'll get to know straight away whether you're compatible. And if you're not, then you're wasting your time.
But also it's that whole thing of just knowing to continue to have your own friendships and friends, so you have other things outside of just each other, because you can soon just get wrapped up in just being the two of you. Of still go out, so you've got things to talk about, make sure you have date nights, like just making the time for each other. But yeah, I think it's really exciting, and don't be nervous, just go for it.
It's what life's all about, right?
Yeah.
Taking risks, following your heart.
Aww.
Live, life, love. Cool. So we have another dilemma. Hi, I'm 20 years old, and if you read this, I would have... Sorry, let's start again. Okay, so we have another dilemma. Hi, I'm 20 years old, and if you read this, I would have just had my first little girl.
Aww.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Just wondering if you had any advice on being young parents since you had Casey young. I feel like young parents get a lot of judgment, and was just wondering if you had any of this and how you overcame it. Well, we were just talking earlier about how we were judged. With so Sophie.
Are you judged at any
yeah, you're always like, I wouldn't worry about being judged.
We're judged now, the parents we are, and we're nearly 40. Like, yeah. People don't agree with anything. I think every child is different, every family unit is different, and you've just got to do what's right for you and that works for your family unit and whatever that may be, and the support you've got around you. Like,
imagine us, like, think back to when we had Casey, right? You were 18, I was 19.
Mm.
I was 19. I looked 12, right? Yeah. I looked like a little hoodlum, didn't I? Right? Like, you look like a little chav.
Mm.
We were a couple made in heaven, right? Yeah. So imagine us pushing Casey around. We were probably blissfully unaware of how much we were judged, but we were super proud. We were so proud to be young parents. We were so proud of our girls. Like, do you know what? So what?
Yeah.
So what? But any advice though? Yeah, so first of all, first piece of advice, don't care what anyone else thinks.
No.
Who cares?
No, the advice, I actually think that you just have more energy when you're younger as well. So you're more active with your baby and get up and out and do things. So yeah, I would just...
Just enjoy it.
If you worry about what people think, it can then easily impact, because then you can start not doing certain things because you're too worried about what people may say.
Yeah.
I think the more, if us mums as overall could all realise that everybody is different, every family is different, whatever works for you might not work for somebody else, and stop being judged, we wouldn't have this feeling. Like, just, yeah.
Do you know what? I always find it funny when people judge your parenting or your kids, right? Because, like, say, like, I've seen comments on YouTube videos before about, oh, like, they've like commented about the behavior of one of the kids, and I always think, yeah, okay, so you're talking about what the behavior of my child. You as an adult, right, has taken the time to write this negative comment on our YouTube channel. I would be way more disappointed if you were my kid than whatever my kid is doing in this video. That would be heartbreaking for me to think. I raised a kid
that thinks it's okay to
thinks it's okay, but actually even wants to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that I'd be embarrassed. So, do you know what? If people are judging you...
And kids do naughty things. Like, they do. Like,
kids are naughty.
And what people don't realise is, like, we do tell them off. We do... We're just not going to show that on camera. Like, anyway
but more point to this lady, this girl, like, you know, the people are judging... Like, I'd be more embarrassed about them than you being a young mum. So
no, I would definitely just enjoy it.
And it's gonna
soak in every minute. Like, those newborn stages, like
those sleepless nights.
No, they are hard, but genuinely, time goes so fast. So treasure every minute. And if you're finding it hard, don't be afraid to let somebody around you that's close enough to say it's a little bit hard, because it is. Being a new mum is really hard. Having a baby isn't not always as lovey-dovey as they think, and this newborn bubble that they think about. Like, it can be stressful, it can be hard, it can, you know, going on no sleep. So don't be afraid that if you are having a tough time, I would say, is to just ask for a little bit of help, even if it's to pass the baby over to someone when they visit and you go for a nap, or like,
I
remember when we had...
Can I pass Maddie over? She's two.
No, but I remember having Maddie, and your mum came over and I passed her to your mum, and I went and had a bath, and it was so nice. Like, just that. It was, I know you've not come to see me. Have the baby. And
also take it from us who have an 18-year-old all the way down to a 2-year-old. Mm. It goes super fast. The tough times of them when they're really little, it is tough. It will get easier, but you'll also sort of like remember and wish you'd like not taken it for granted when they were so little. Because when they're newborns, like, oh, it's just lovely.
These are all your new amazing memories you're about to make. Like, just don't let negativity like...
Yeah.
And I don't even think... I think 20 is a nice age.
I don't
feel like 18. Like I say this all the time now because of Casey. I'm like, oh, because she's at 18, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was like, that's what I was like having.
But also, mad. Casey, yeah, no, I'm not gonna say that. That sounds mean. I was gonna say, Casey looks a bit more put together than we did when we were her age.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, okay, no. If you saw, mean about her, but
no, if you saw Casey pushing a buggy down the street, she looks very mature. She looks. Not that you didn't, but like me and you didn't. We looked like I don't know. We looked like the sort of people you probably would judge.
Like, bright pink Juicy Couture tracksuit, like with a pair of UGG boots and like big hoops and like.
Someone watching this might be wearing that exact outfit. What are you saying? Yeah.
That's nice.
No, but it's just showed like how young we were.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I think that's all we got time for this week.
That has, because we've actually got to shoot off because Sophie and Chloe have their first gymnastics trial. It's got a special needs class, which I'm really excited about, because then we can next week say how it went. So
yeah,
we've got to get back, take them to that.
Yeah. So guys, if you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe, leave us a comment, and anywhere that you're listening to this podcast, if you could subscribe to it and leave us a review and rate the podcast 5 stars, that would be incredible.
Amazing.
We really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.